الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Last week we began with a little bit of a background to a opportunity that I recently had to travel with Sheikh Zulfikar in South Africa. And I shared just some of the events that occurred during that trip because they were interesting and because they were something to learn from. And there was a few things that I wanted to say last week, but we ran out of time because the time for Isha had come in. So I want to add those now, and I don't want to take too long because I don't want to push us over like we did last week. But basically, just as a review for those people who weren't there or for those people who need a little refresher, what I had said last week was that, you know, among the many things that we did in this trip with Sheikh Zulfikar, one of the things that was scheduled and that we did was to spend time in Kruger National Park. And I had mentioned in particular that when people visit Kruger National Park, they visit for days or weeks. They make a plan to stay there for several days, and during that time, they have the idea that they'll be able to view many of the wild game that are present within that national park. And because it takes several days to be able to see everything, people, if they travel all the way, especially from America, they plan several days in the park. And what I had shared with you was that one of the most interesting things that happened on our trip was that we went to a part of the park where people would not expect to see very many animals. We didn't go because of the animals. We went because we were passing through that area to go from one talk to another. And we went for a very short period of time. Literally, we got there after Fajr prayer, and we were there until, you know, Dhuhr prayer, maybe the beginning of Asr prayer. And in that very short period of time, I mentioned that we saw so many different animals. You know, we saw elephants, giraffe, lion, hyena, etc. It was as if almost, I mean, you could argue that the animals were coming to see us. And again, not us, but basically Sheikh Zulfikar, as I had mentioned last week, that, you know, there's a famous hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that a person draws very near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through their supererogatory acts of worship, such that there comes a point when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces to the angels that I love this so-and-so person, such-and-such and so-and-so, so you should love such-and-such and so-and-so. And the angels then subsequently make the announcement to all of creation, including the animals, such that it goes to the fish at the bottom of the sea, that I love such and such and so and so, so you also should love such and such and so and so. And so basically what I was highlighting was that this event that we witnessed, you know, in this such a short period of time, animals coming and out of nowhere, just us able to see these animals. And in particular, at the very end, I even mentioned that there was this enormous elephant that basically just blocked the road and was standing literally right in front of us. I mean, I'm still amazed at how close that elephant was. All of that, I took that to be a sign of basically the fact that we were with a very, very righteous, pious person. And that being in the company of such righteous and pious people, those animals, almost as if they knew that this is someone that is seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so it was an opportunity for them to be able to interact with this person as well. And, you know, like I said, this isn't only at the level of the animals. This happens wherever Sheikh Zulfikar goes. There's a very, very ajeeb and strange thing that no matter what masjid we go to, everybody wants to come and shake his hand. Everybody wants to just catch a glimpse of him. And I mentioned last week that Sheikh Zulfikar went to India recently, just a few months before he went to South Africa, and hundreds of thousands of people came to his talks. Someplace 100,000, someplace 200,000, some places maximum close to 300,000. And obviously in India, you know, they don't have these mega speaker systems and halls where you go when you go to a religious gathering, the vast majority of people couldn't even hear what he was saying. The vast majority of people only saw him, let alone saw him, they just saw the crowd from a distance. Yet so many people came, and you wonder, how did that come in the hearts of those people? Where did they know? You know, how did they know to come to that point and to just even just see that person? And that's because, again, this is the person, or these are the types of people that pursue Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah puts the love of them in the hearts of others. It's a very, very natural occurrence. So that was last week's summary. Now I want to take that one step further. So I told you what I saw, but I didn't tell you the reaction of Shaykh Zulfiqar to this. And I think that's also very important. And it's actually a derivative principle from the Sunnah, so that's why I'm highlighting it. Every time this happened, literally, I can say every time this happened, for example, some very unique animal would show up, okay? We get into the park and within 3 minutes, just elephants all over the place, right? Or we're sitting down and having breakfast and elephants are just grazing, you know, just by us. I mean, we literally had breakfast with the elephants, I was saying. When I was sitting with the people, I said, we didn't have breakfast seeing elephants. We had breakfast with the elephants. And then all these, you know, zebras coming, and my daughter corrected me when we were leaving, and she said, it wasn't dozens, it was 99 zebras. I counted them, 99 zebras. So whatever it was, 99 zebras. I mean, you know, where does this come from? Every time some unique occurrence like this happened, Sheikh Zulfiqar would turn to someone in the group and say, oh, they came to visit you. They came to see you. He would never say, you know, alhamdulillah, Allah sent. One zebra would have been enough to come and meet me, but 99 came, alhamdulillah. You know how, if it was me, and I'm with people, and say, you know, some rare occurrence occurs, I would, in a very subtle way, make a hint that it was because of me. I would say, like, yeah, you know, this is the first time that it's happened to me like this, but alhamdulillah, you know, put my head down. This is human nature. We would begin to attribute it to ourselves, right? We would think that, even if we didn't say it, we would think it. That, oh, this is really, I wonder, you know, if I just make an extra dua, will another animal come and see me? We would start attributing it to ourselves. But that is never the way of the awliya. Never the way of the awliya. They will always turn to someone else and attribute anything good to them. Literally, I will tell you, every time that happened, some very unique occurrence would happen. He was telling us, like he was saying that, oh, you know, we came and we wanted to see giraffes very badly, but we didn't get to see giraffes the last time. And then he went through how there was a person on the last trip who just wanted to see a giraffe. Every animal would come and that person said, I want to see a giraffe. I don't care about this. I don't care about that. And no giraffe was seen. And this time we saw so many giraffes. I mean, we were just randomly stopping and giraffe would be sitting and eating from the top of the trees and putting their legs like this and drinking. And we were seeing giraffe after giraffe. And so then he would turn to someone in the group and he would say, oh, they came to see you. Oh, they're here because of you. That would be the attitude that he would express, that always, they came because of some other reason. And, you know, the reality is actually, I was thinking the opposite. I was thinking that maybe because of my sins, we wouldn't see anything. I was thinking the other way, you know, that it's possible that because of our sins, we're not going to see anything. So we're really lucky to actually have seen any of this. So, but this is the way of the awliya. They always attribute. People of righteousness, they never attribute anything to themselves and they never seek out the attention of other people. They're very quiet in the way in which they carry themselves and they're very humble in the way in which they deal with others. I can tell you that I've seen many, many gatherings, where throngs of people are waiting to greet Sheikh Zulfiqar, or throngs of people are wanting to just, you know, surround him. And every time, he quickly escapes and gets in the car and gets out of there. He just doesn't want that. He just won't, just not like that. He's very uncomfortable about that. Very uncomfortable. I mean, he's willing to shake people's hands because they really, you know, have been waiting for a long period. They've been hearing he's coming. They're waiting for him. They're excited. He shakes their hands. But if there's any extra moment of these types of crowds, he'll very quickly get himself out of that situation. I vividly remember we were in the Haram a year ago. And a big crowd showed up. Now, you know, I mean, in the Haram, because people from all over the world know who he is, and the Indian ulama, especially in the Indian people who are students and studying, and they really, really desire to see him, and there's no opportunity except there. So slowly, crowds started building up. He got very angry at us, the person who was pushing him, and he was in a wheelchair that time. The person who was pushing him, he got very angry. He said, you haven't moved out of here? you should move. You know, he very quickly said, move me out of here. And we went, and people were still following. And we would keep moving until finally we found another place where there was nobody. And again, he was comfortable, and then, you know, he was happy that he was in that place. The people of righteousness don't seek out attention. People of piety don't seek out attention, and they're actually uncomfortable with attention. Now, where is this all derived from? This is all derived from actually Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a very famous incident which is narrated in the book of Imam, Ibn Majah, right? The book of Ibn Majah, and he narrates from Abu Umama, radiallahu anhu. Abu Umama is narrating the hadith. And in the hadith, he says that one day it was very hot outside. It's actually very interesting the way he narrates the hadith. Very, very insightful way that the hadith is narrated. He says, one day it was very hot outside. It was a very hot day. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on his way to visit the Baqi graveyard. You know, the Baqi graveyard that's present in Medina Sharif. So as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa was heading towards the graveyard, he began to hear large numbers of footsteps of people behind him. And then he's commenting. Abu Umama radiallahu anhu is commenting in the hadith. He says, this weighed heavily on the heart of Rasulullah. He's putting in his own commentary. He says, this weighed heavily on the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To the extent that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat down. He just stopped. And then Abu Umama radiallahu anhu is commenting, and he says that this was because he felt he was afraid of the heaviness of pride entering into his heart. Now, of course, what would pride enter into the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I mean, he knew exactly who he was, and that wasn't an issue, but it was a lesson for us. So he says that this was because of the issue of the possibility of pride entering into his heart. So he sat down and he let the crowd dissipate until finally he got back up and did what he needed to do. Now, when Rasulullah ﷺ did this, basically what had happened was he was going out. It was a hot day, right? Now, if it's a hot day, nobody else is going out. See, that's why I say it's very interesting the way the hadith is narrated, because he starts by narrating the circumstance that created the idea in the mind of the Prophet ﷺ. It's a hot day, nobody else should be out. It's not like people were out randomly. They started following him because it was an opportunity to follow him. So a big crowd built up. Now, Rasulullah ﷺ knows that it's a hot day, people aren't supposed to be out, you know, I'm going someplace, people must be following me for this. So he was very uncomfortable with that. He sat down. Now, people, they didn't have permission to follow him. They didn't have an appointment, they hadn't made a meeting with him, they were just following him. So they also became, you know, they saw that he sat down, so they themselves, they began to go off to different directions. And then Rasulullah ﷺ, he stood up, and then he began to pursue that which he was supposed to pursue. So, from this hadith, it's one of the very famous hadith that our Akabareen, they mention, that we learn a very important lesson, which is that, you know, the seeking of attention of others, actually, it makes us uncomfortable. It's nothing that we should ever pursue. It's something that we should become very uncomfortable with. You know, we should have a natural disinclination towards. And all of us have this within us. We want the attention of others. It's in everybody. Whether it be by driving a certain car that we know that everybody will look at, or whether it be by having our, the purse that nobody else has, or whether it be by saying things about ourselves that naturally draw attention to us. You know, and we do it, the righteous do it, the people of the dunya do it. You know, in the gatherings of the righteous, it's, when I did my sixth hajj, that time this happened. You know, you have to make sure that it was the sixth hajj, and you make it very clear with everybody in the gathering that that was your sixth hajj. So it's a mechanism of drawing attention. But our Kabirin and the people of piety, they never would want attention drawn to themselves. In fact, they remembered exactly who they were. And I'll tell you the opposite extreme, which also comes to mind in the context of this discussion. Not only would Sheikh Zulfikar attribute whatever happened to somebody else in the group, or you, or it was because of you, or because of you, or because of you, when something good happened, but if there was something negative, he would always attribute it to himself. I vividly remember on one occasion, he made a statement, very interesting statement. We were sitting, and somebody said something, and he said, I don't know how to do it. The only thing I know how to do is sleep. He said this. He said this in front of all of us, openly. We're all sitting there. It was like my hand was in my face, you know. The only thing I know how to do is sleep. I'm looking at it, and I said, Hazrat, I never even see you sleep. If you want to learn how to sleep, come. I can teach you how to sleep, you know. What are you talking about? But he, you know, this is the humility of these people. You know, he makes a statement that, it's just no way. I mean, there's no way. I have not seen anybody sleep less. I've seen him sleep half of the person that I've seen sleep the least. And I've told you these stories before. Yet he says, you know, the only thing I know how to do right is sleep. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. As if like nothing else is going, you know, as if nothing else is being done. So actually it's the opposite. Instead of seeking attention, they create mechanisms to divert attention. And this is, again, this is all a derivative from that simple hadith that I just, you know, the meaning of which I just quoted before you. So we should not ever seek the attention of anyone except Allah. We should never see, because it becomes almost, there's a possibility of shirk, right? If we begin to seek the attention of other people, then on the Day of Judgment, Allah will tell us to take our reward from them, right? If we begin to seek the attention of other people, then on the Day of Judgment we'll say, these are the people that you aim to please, so take your reward from them. And if we seek the attention of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us from His reward. In fact, it's clearly narrated in hadith that there would be groups of people on the Day of Judgment who performed acts in order to show others what they did. And it will be told to them that you did these acts to show others, so go and seek the attention of those people. I mean, we know the famous hadith where there will be people raised before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a big scholar will be raised before Allah. And it will be said, what did you do? What did you do for the deen? And the person will say, I was a big scholar and I established and I taught your deen. And then it will be said, liar. Liar, you did that because you wanted other people to say you were a great scholar. And it was said. Right? And it was said. And that person will be banished into hellfire. Another person will comment, you know, why? What did you do? Oh, I fought in the path of Allah. No, you didn't fight in the path of Allah. You fought so that people would call you a great, strong warrior. And it was said. What you desired was said. And that person will be punished. Because they have established partners with Allah. They're competing in Allah's domain. You know, it is Allah's domain that all attention be turned towards Him. Allah is the one who deserves that all attention be turned towards Him. So if a person competes in Allah's domain and tries to draw attention to them, it's a very serious infringement on the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's close to among those things that don't get forgiven. It's a type of shirk. It's right. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that, I'm not afraid of the major shirk, I'm afraid of the minor shirk. So the Sahaba asked, what is the minor shirk? Minor shirk is to seek the attention of others. Minor shirk is to seek the attention of others. And you see, we want to talk. We're in gatherings. We want to be the one that talks. We want to say, we want everyone to focus their attention on us. To the extent that we'll lie to get people's attention. We'll exaggerate to get people's attention. We'll speak about others to make people laugh. And we're shooting ourselves in the foot. We're burying ourselves in our own spiritual grave. And we think that we're achieving something. We have to be very, very careful whose domain we step in. You certainly never want to compete with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the matter of attention. All attention is for Allah. All praise is for Allah. Alhamdulillah. All praise is for Allah. And it is only our job to turn others' attentions towards Allah as well. This is our job. Not to ever bring an iota of attention to ourselves, but to take everybody's face and turn it towards their Creator. And if we've done that, we've succeeded. And this was the mechanism of the companions and the people that came after them. They were never interested in attention for themselves. They were always interested in bringing other people into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to be very careful, because this is something that plagues people of the dunya, and it's something that plagues people of the deen. And it's lesson. This is a lesson that we learn even in the most extreme. You know, that's the time to say, when the animals are coming out of the jungle to see you, that's the time to say, you know, Alhamdulillah, Allah accepted my dua. That's the time to say that, right? And maybe we would be the ones to say that. But that was not what that's not what we've seen from our Kabirin. That's not what we've seen from the pious predecessors. And certainly we should be very, very careful in this regard. So yes, you know, it's true that when a person, as I mentioned last week, when a person attains a certain degree of piety, no doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjugates many aspects of the physical world to them. However, those people never ever assume that to be a sign of progress. They're always afraid of their mistakes. And they always humble themselves, and they recognize who they are in the big picture, which basically in comparison to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're all nothing. We're all nothing. And so we should be particularly careful. We don't need to seek attention and bring attention to ourselves and say things that would make other people attracted towards us, or think something of us, or exaggerate in order to attract the attention of others, etc. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to be among those who humble ourselves before Him, and may He make us among those who are raised on the final day because of their humility. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.